Greetings, good listeners. You are tuning in to the Ancestors Writer's Room. I'm storyteller and spellweaver, Shanga Tagore. This is a podcast drama miniseries that weaves the big movements with the small things. This is episode 2, and it's called The Galactic Roots of Genocide. "We are right to be asking the big questions," said the mighty revolutionary ancestors. "We are right to ask, what is the root cause of widespread genocide on the planet? For too long, we have endured layers of epidemics upon epidemics that result in too much life leaving their bodies before their time. Too many people have just gotten used to living that way, building homes on that foundation. More than anything, I don't want this beloved planet to leave before her time. I don't want any of her children to leave before their time, not one more day. This crazy planet, the phenomenal and legendary blue and green. And you know what? I don't want to leave before my time either. I don't want that for myself. We are right to be asking the big questions. What is the root cause of this? If we can get to the root, maybe we can dig it up and plant something else in its place. Maybe some small things that just might heal the world." Today, I sit with my ancestors' writer's room and I ask them a big question. What is the root of genocide, and how can we dig it up? A woman steps forward. She has purple, prismatic skin, a curvy body, and gorgeous, long, thick, wavy black hair. She has a bright star in the place where her third eye should be. She says, "Her name is Lyra." Lyra says, "Your beloved green and blue planet is not the first time nor place that epidemics of genocide have occurred. You'll find genocide everywhere in the wider multiverse. But I remember a time before that, or underneath it, or maybe a memory, deep within the heart of a broken heart, which is unbroken. In that time and place, there was the universe where everything lived in balance, giving and receiving, blooming and wilting, ending and beginning, love, grief, and yes, even holy rage as the fire behind our sacred creations. At some point in this vast field of life, there was a small voice that said, 'I wonder what it would be like to just take and not give anything back.' I don't know why that voice asked that question. I can't even see who it is that's asking. Their face is behind a fog. I do know I remember somewhere who that is because their energy is oh so familiar. Regardless of that origin story, they did not only ask that question, they took action on it. That voice did what voices do. It reverberated through timelines. It radiated. It resonated. It spread in power because there is nothing quite like the power of a voice willing to be heard and felt. A voice can create worlds that magnetize around it and spread. Whether that voice is verbal or nonverbal, either way, it's dangerous. That voice that said, I wonder what it would be like to just take and never give back. To just have power and never have to take responsibility for it. Responsibility is hard. What if I could just receive gifts, flowers, water, and never have to go through the trial of earning my leadership? What if I could just get generosity and never have to return that reciprocity?" Long story short, that voice spoke, it took action, it created worlds around it, it magnetized and spread into values, interests, principles, hobbies, addictions, cycles, patterns, time loops, eras. It evolved into extraction, domination, enslavement. It wasn't long before it inevitably birthed and sustained the spirit of genocide. Lyra says that her magic is both feline and winged. Her home planet, her original star system, was especially attractive to the spirit of genocide. There's something about our way of being, she says. Our magic is erotic, it's artistic, it's innocent, it's full of wonder. We were wonder children, just in awe, in love with the universe and everything in it, even the things we didn't understand. Something about the magic in and of our ecosystems attracted the voice who birthed genocide. That voice became obsessed with us. It was jealous and fascinated. It wanted to be friends, and it also wanted to harm us. It wanted to be close to us so that it could control us. I am really old, Lyra says. I've been around since before what they call the Galactic Wars were even a whisper in the imagination of any being. What they call wars, battles, conflict, I call genocide. Just like you do on Earth. During the height of genocide on my home, you could say that we lost some of the most pivotal battles. Entire planets were obliterated, not just physically, but from memory. In a snap, civilizations across the universe forgot that we ever existed. Only some of us retained the memory, and we became the original memory keepers, wisdom keepers. We had to carry on, not only living with the grief of losing everything, but also having our grief be completely gaslit in the wider universe because nobody even remembered there was anything to grieve. I remember before, underneath, deep within our current times, another place, when and where life was not under threat, and the spirit of death was not so greatly abused. In my home planet, there was a lot of green, with hills and lakes. It wasn't the most exciting place in the multiverse, but it was peaceful. I spent a lot of my time lounging in sunbeams and just basking and bathing in the light. One day, my body grew into a giant, and it was kind of like that scene in Alice in Wonderland, where she could no longer fit inside of the bounds of the world that held her. It took a long time for me to muster the courage to leave because I loved my first family so much. But the shape and size of my body told me it was time, and so did the world. So I packed my bags and I left. I began another phase of my life which centered around adventure and traveling and getting to know and love many different places in the universe. The universe was still peaceful at that time. At first, when the genocides began to rise, I was oblivious to them. They targeted my home planet and I didn't even notice. I was just traveling, having fun, living my best multiverse life, experiencing joy, grief, and love. I feel shame, even today, to say that I was oblivious to what was happening on my own planet, my home. But I do know that genocide created my not knowing. It was a war tactic. How did they do it? They willfully cut off my family's ability to communicate with me. That was the first thing that genocide took care of. Our ability to communicate with each other across worlds and across dimensions. They infiltrated our magic, our quantum whispering, and they severed that connection. And they did this before we had any clue what they were up to. If they hadn't taken those first steps, I don't think any of us would be where we are today. If something was wrong on my planet, I would have absolutely known. The first inkling of a sign of something wrong, they would have beamed that message to me and I would have felt it. I would have heard. No matter what lifetime I was in or what language I was speaking, I would have felt the voice of my home. And I would have dropped my travels, gone back there in a moment's notice, and they would never have gained such power over us. At this juncture of time, place, and dimension, I need to remind myself that I am worthy of my own forgiveness. And if I ask this of myself, I offer it to anyone else who knows they need it too. When genocide began, you have to understand, it was outside of every realm of my or anyone's imagination. We didn't see it because we couldn't even comprehend what it was. We were wonder children. That's why it was able to grow in power for so long before any of us could see it clearly. It didn't compute. I'm saying it took so long for us to even process genocide, let alone defend ourselves against it. When I finally realized what was happening in my star system, I went back, but so much damage had already been done. Because my family was cut off from their gifts of communication and magic, I had to step up into a leadership position even though I was still so young. I had to mature and evolve faster than what was right for my body. I had to make hard decisions alone or without proper counsel, community, or eldership. Everything was just happening so fast. I took on so much responsibility even though I was still developing my power. I was the only one who had my clairvoyant vision intact. I felt so alone because nobody else could see what I saw. I just had to put away the fact that isolation was driving me mad because there was just so much work to do. To me, it was clear. Their agenda was to obliterate the planet. I mean, they just wanted our magic, and they didn't care that the consequence would be our annihilation. In one pivotal battle, I made a choice. And to this day, I don't know if that choice was the reason we lost everything, or if we would have lost no matter what I did. But I did see that we were gonna lose. And I made a choice. I've been hiding something from you. It's the reason that nobody wants to be around me, that nobody wants to look at me. It's because of what I did. It was me. I'm the one who disappeared our planet. I'm the one who disappeared our planet from everyone's memory in the galaxies. I did that with my magic. That's how powerful I am. I'm the reason. I'm the reason everybody forgot that we existed. I'm the reason your grief is gaslit. I know. I'm a monster. And everyone else knows it too. Throughout the galaxies, my name became synonymous with she. The great betrayer. I still tried to live. I still chose incarnations and timelines and lifetimes. I tried to take different names. But no matter what name I was given or that I chose, eventually everyone saw the truth. They'd see my true name. She, who ruined everything. She, destroyer of worlds. She, the reason it died. I understand why I'm a monster, because from the outside looking in, it really does seem like I betrayed everyone. It looks like I made some kind of deal with the enemy, like I traded in my species for some kind of personal gain that they promised me, like I sold out. I know that's what it looks like. That's the choice that I made. I made it look like I threw my home and everything I care about under the bus. I had to make them believe it. The spirit of genocide. I had to make them believe there was nothing left to take. I had to let them tell everyone and their dog what they believed to be true. That it was me. I'm the one who made it disappear. I'm the reason everyone forgot. I had to convince them of that enough to leave us alone. So I did. And they left. But today, good listener, I want you to know something. It is truly a miracle that magic and wisdom on your planet is alive and still here. It's a miracle that today magic blooms within you because it's not supposed to exist. Your wisdom, your magic, your memory, it's not supposed to exist, but it's here. My magic that today blooms like flowers from my hands, it's not supposed to exist, but it does. Because I saved it. I didn't disappear my planet. I just put it in a safe place. I saved it for another day. A day that magic could rise and be free and safe again in the universe. I saved it. Not to keep it hidden forever, but so that it could be retrieved, reclaimed, and remembered at the exact right time. If I were to tell you my definition of monster without looking it up in the dictionary, I'd say that a monster is an otherworldly giant, a planetary priestess, and/or a wicked witch living in a world that doesn't know she is one. I saved my planet. I did. And I willingly consented to the rest of the universe dragging my name through the mud and space sludge for generations. I embraced my reputation thrown in the toilet and said, sure, throw all your dog poop on it too. I did it for us. For me. For you too. Call me those names. Destroyer of worlds. The reason it died. She who ruined everything. That's okay. I wasn't all alone. I was never alone. There were small things, a small contingent of my first family that saw the truth. They saw my sacrifice. They understood. And they would devote the rest of their soul's journey to repaying me, reciprocating, protecting me, giving back for what I did and for what I carry. And for who I'm about to become. They devote everything to me, just like I do for them. It's just who we are. It's who we would be, even if genocide never existed. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, we would choose each other for any big or small amount of time we could muster, including the last 15 years here on this beloved green and blue, this incredible era of Pluto in Capricorn that is closing its gate as we speak. I spent my time with them. I did. Esta and Rahel. For 15 years, what a phenomenal, legendary, simple life we shared. This queer witch and her two black cats. Thank you for tuning in, good listeners. That was episode 2, The Galactic Roots of Genocide. I will be teaching with ancestral storytelling technology in the Ancestors Writers Room 2-month apprenticeship, which I'll be hosting between February 4th and March 24th, 2024. If you choose to join the apprenticeship, You will get access to beautiful writing classes where I take you through visualization and meditation to help you connect with your own ancestral stories, unlock your own ancestral teachings, and gain closer relationship with your unique storytelling medicine. How does your artistic energy healing function? How to best wield it and harness it toward your beautiful projects you're working on, as well as your daily life. By the end of the journey, you will have received a wealth and a garden of flowers blooming from me and the teachings I have to share, these multiverse history lessons, and teachings that are specific to the life path of a magically, spiritually opened artist whose ancestors are committed to abolition and revolution. Believe me, it is a specific life path that differs from any other. If you know, you know. And then you know that we all need support and community on this journey. We need teachers and elders and peers. So if you enjoy my stories, my teaching style, my voice, my politics, the way that I think and talk and share my medicine, I am confident enough to say that I guarantee you will love this apprenticeship. I believe that everyone who joins will receive deep support and guidance that you can't put a price tag on and that will truly last you a lifetime. I know because that's who my ancestors are. That's what happens when we follow our heart and our spirit and allow ourselves to be in close relationship with those who guide us, with our loved ones, and our ancestors. If you want support with your ceremonial entrepreneurship, your survivor-led brilliance, your queer and trans neurodivergent galactic memory, your amazing creative babies that the world needs to protect and uplift, or just with your heart, your grief, your rage, your love, and your very important healing journey, I encourage you to check out the link to the apprenticeship and tune in with your ancestors and see if you want to join. I would love to have you. There's even an opening act, which is our version of a free trial, and offerings that are open to the public, and they will continue to be free and open to the public once the apprenticeship starts. You can go and check that out and get a sense of what it might be like to study with me, to receive from me, and then decide if you'd like to dive in. Registration closes on February 2nd, 2024. If this opportunity, even if the words, the ancestors' writer's room, if it lights up a spark in you, if it lights up a star, a world, or a sun in your body, trust that. Because our ancestors already know where we're meant to be. Check for all the links in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. Until next time.